Bill Plaschke, Kevin Blackstone, Israel Gutierrez. Great to have you guys here. Imploding was the word Gary Washburn, Boston Globe's reporter in the bubble, wrote. Screaming, yelling, Marcus Smart swearing is how Malika Andrews posted it. Nothing escalated to a physical confrontation, Woj reported, but there was a second meeting after a first meeting. Israel Gutierrez, I want to start with you here. Is this what happens when the Heat are oppressive and you're down 0-2 and you're blowing two double-digit leads? Or are the Celtics beyond repair here?
I don't think they're beyond repair. I do think a second meeting is quite telling after only two games, but I don't think they're beyond repair. Look, the way I see it is Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown in particular are looking at that Heat team and saying, we can win that way, because that's what Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown do, is they play tough. Now, they're quality offensive players, but they play tough and they defend, and they can sort of be the guys who can make the difference and do a lot of the little things. And now you see a Heat team that has Jimmy Butler, the head of the snake, if you will, doing that, and an entire team that's live, an entire team that can contribute, an entire team that's together on both sides of the court. That's what the Celtics are missing. Look at the assist numbers, 27 to 19. They don't play the same with the same unity that Miami does right now. And Miami just has a team that has been benefiting from whether it be the time off, whether it be the extra time here in the bubble with Andre Iguodala, with Jay Crowder. They look like the best versions of themselves they've been all season long, and the timing is perfect. And it looks like Boston wants to be a lot more like Miami. Right,
so you're saying Boston has grit envy here. They have Grenvy.
Essentially.
But you don't think it's irreparable that they can get this back after having the screaming, yelling fight in the locker room last night? Let me ask that question to Bill Plaschke. Is Boston in such trouble here, they're beyond repair?
I think they may be. I'm not going to call it over, but I'm on the verge of calling it over.
No, why would you call it over? I mean,
the Heat have their basketball IQ, their everything Boston wanted to be, just like Izzy said. They go into a zone in the third quarter, and the Celtics are completely flummoxed. Yeah. Bam has seven baskets in the third quarter. Boston, the entire team, has four baskets in the third quarter. Jimmy Butler makes a two great hustle steal play. Dragic is all over the court. They're playing, as like Spoelstra said, as if on a string. They're soaked together, and the Celtics are so discombobulated. I don't see it happening. I don't see them coming back.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Blackstone, I'll bring you in here now. You heard Gary Washburn say it was raucous in that locker room, and he's been outside locker rooms where people are yelling before, and that's what he said. It was raucous. Can Boston recover from this, or is Miami just doing things that there'll be no answer for?
I think Miami is doing things that they can't match right now. Right. I mean, you talk about the coaching change that was made in the second half. There was a Celtics team that put up 60 points in the first half. They came out and they were staring at a zone. They did not know what to do. That's Spoelstra getting it done. And then the lineups that he would have out there, the veteran guys, who those are the grit guys that really Boston has, but their grit guys are not the bell cows of their team. When you look at Jimmy Butler and that team, he's the guy who's the leader and how he paces them. And I just think that, you know, it's one thing for the Heat to be in the basketball uniform, so to speak, of the Celtics, but it's another thing for them now to be in the heads of the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. So even if the Celtics can pull it together, I still don't think I see anything that makes me suggest that the Heat are going to crumble under any newly applied pressure from the seas.
Mm-hmm. Israel, can I go back to you? Nobody knows Miami better than you do. And this team, I mean, they're 10-1 in the postseason. They are much better than they were in the regular season. What's really come together for them?
I think it's more of a continuation offensively than what they'd started all season long. It's just they've been doing it better, whether it be because Duncan Robinson's gotten to such a rhythm where guys can play around him, and Duncan doesn't even have to, you know, hit six threes the way he did last night for defenses to really pay attention. But I really think the biggest difference has been on the defensive end. I was thinking about this earlier today. If they were able to get that Gallinari trade from OKC, would they have been the same team if not Jay Crowder starting at the four with that three-point shooting, of course, but also that defense? And those guys, they're on a string better than I think anybody in the league, definitely right now. And it reminds me a lot, honestly, of those old Golden State Warriors team. Now, they looked like that on the offensive end all the time, but on the defensive end, got a lot of credit for that as well. And that's how connected this Miami Heat team is right now. That you can hide guys like Tyler Hero on defense or a Duncan Robinson because everybody's on the same page.
Well, Kevin, I heard you say, you know, you're not saying it's irreparable for Boston, but you still believe Miami's definitely taking this series. And Bill Plaschke,
I mean, yeah. Bill, you're not calling this series over. I'm so
You know
impressed.
What? I can't, because I think we've all learned, because of no fans in the stands, I think comebacks are happening all over the league now. I think they're happening all over the playoffs. You can't really count any out of down to
Yes,
Ohio.
We've learned that. However, I believe we have, Bill. Right.
However,
you know what's interesting?
you have to note Miami, four double-digit comebacks. They did this three times against the Bucks. So it's in just the Celtics.
Yeah.
This is about the Heat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll give you that. I thought you said when you said, however, Lakers have already closed out the Nuggets. I'm calling that series over. That's what I thought you were going to say. That's our next topic of discussion here. Let's get into it. If I could ask you to hold your Laker head out of this for a second and think about the Nuggets, Bill. Denver just came back from 3-1 down, two series in a row. Mike Malone joked the league should just start this series 3-1 and get it over with. And then Jamal Murray said, give us some damn respect. So, Bill, when you think about Denver, what type of threat do they pose to the Lakers? How do they match up against the Lakers?
I love Denver's grit. I love their guts. I love their comeback. But they don't pose any threat at all to the Lakers. I'm
there
sorry.
There we go. See, I mean, you can't even resist
that. Tony, let me talk. The matchup, it just doesn't fit for them. Anthony Davis averaged 29 points against the Nuggets, 2 points per possession against them interior. Jokic gets killed by the Lakers' length. The Lakers were 3-0 against the Nuggets this year when LeBron James played. It's just a bad matchup. The playoffs are all matchups, Tony, and this is just a bad matchup for Denver because of the Lakers' length, because of their height, because of the way they play inside. The Nuggets, fourth most points inside of any team in the postseason. It doesn't work for the Nuggets. It just doesn't equate.
I accept that. I asked you how the Nuggets match up against the Lakers, and you say they don't. Israel, do you see it that way?
No. If you would have asked me in February, I probably would have leaned more toward the way Bill is leaning right now. However, now the way the Nuggets are playing, it is. And it starts with Jokic. He's in better shape. He's, you know, lasting longer in terms of his productivity and how he can do things on the floor. And also, it, you know, Jamal Murray has been spectacular. And even, you know, I thought against the length of the Clippers that he would find a way to, you know, shoot in the low 30s perhaps and kind of collapse in the postseason. He didn't. He's finding ways to score anyway. So I do think that you need to put some respect on these guys' names because those two guys match up in terms of one, just in terms of a duo, absolutely match up well with the Lakers. And the way that offense is flowing, it's a little bit like the Miami Heat. They're going to give the Lakers issues, even if it's not a one-on-one problem. It's going to be with ball movement and with the way Jokic runs that offense. Okay. I absolutely think they're going to give the Lakers.
I'm going to make sure I have this right, Israel. LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who are two of the five members of all NBA's first team, that they're even with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic as far as
the way those guys are playing right now. Absolutely, okay. I would say they're pretty much level as a duo.
Not even close.
Kevin Blackstone, the floor is yours. You can address Israel or the series, whatever you prefer.
Thank you, Tony. I understand that we have been mesmerized by the Denver Nuggets in the bubble and what they've been able to pull off in a couple of series, and the great scoring of Jamal Murray, and the camaraderie, the gamesmanship, the playing together he has with the Joker. But have we forgotten those two players on the Lakers? I mean, LeBron James and AD have been playing out of their minds. Let me ask you this question, since we asked the question about who is going to cover Jamal Murray or how they're going to handle the Joker, who on the Nuggets team is going to cover LeBron James? And
defensively, they're not exactly that.
And if Joker gets in trouble, if he gets in foul trouble against Anthony Davis, who do they bring in his stead? This is not a good matchup for the Nuggets, as Bill Plaschke said.
You were talking about for Jamal Murray. You just stick LeBron on him, and that's the end of Jamal Murray. That's what you had just said when we sat down.
Yes, and in fact, if you, I know we're going to get to this later in the show, but you don't think LeBron's going to have a chip on his shoulder after losing the MVP to Giannis? Ooh. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Tonight's blowout tonight.
You don't think the Clippers just said, let's put Kawhi on Jamal Murray and shut him down?
Well said, Israel Gutierrez. You got that in right after the horn.
Different.
You got it in. You got it in. All right.
Just blew a 3-1 lead.
We'll take a pause on this discussion. We'll move. Let's talk some football real quick. Thursday night football last night. What, if anything, you took away from Browns 35, Bengals 30, one of Mayfield's best games as a pro. Chubb, 5.5 yards a carry. Hunt, 8.5 yards a carry. Joe Burrow's first three touchdown passes of his career, they were part of the 61 passes he threw. What was your takeaway, Kev?
Well, two things. Number one, I wanted to like Joe Burrow coming into this NFL season. I like Joe Burrow coming into this NFL season.
Okay.
I'd rather not see him throw 60 times. And coaching makes all the difference in the NFL sometimes. That was not a discombobulated Browns unit out there. Mayfield's got the weapons. He was able to use them last night. They are more this year than what we thought they were going to be last year.
Israel Gutierrez, takeaway from last night?
My main takeaway is that I think Baker Mayfield needs to notice that he just needs to not mess this up. He doesn't have to be the main reason why they are a playoff team. He just needs to play, you know, behind that offensive line, zero sacks last night, with those two running backs who gave him a clearly great production, and occasionally find Odell Beckham down the field. So I think in terms of sort of the Kirk Cousins feel to Baker Mayfield, just don't mess this up. I think that's what his team's going to ask of him this season.
Bill Plaschke, takeaway?
Baker Mayfield can be Baker Mayfield again. Stefanski set him loose. Both touchdown passes were against the blitz. He's done that very well. And I love Joe Burrow, too. Joe Burrow, you can see that's a leader in that young man. I love watching the game. I couldn't believe it. I actually enjoyed watching the Browns-Bengals game for the first time forever.
Yeah. When you watch the Browns play the way they do, with Chubb, you know, was the bell cow yesterday, and he had 5.5 yards of carry. But then they had backloaded Hunt, and he came in the game, and he was running through people, too. Does it make you think so much focus is on how good is Mayfield, and are we getting enough touches to Odell Beckham Jr.? Maybe they should be a run-first team. Does anybody think that? I mean, that's a tandem in the backfield that nobody has.
Pretty good.
Bell. We've been horned. We're taking a break. Today, Giannis told Ernie Johnson, don't call me MVP until I have a championship. So when we come back, we'll talk about Giannis, and to pump you up for week two of the NFL, here's Jim Irsay. Pump us up, Jim.
To know that this game, and only this game, against a great team, against the Vikings, which is always a tough fight, we will be there.
Is he going to lift that? Israel, what is that? Was that 350?
It looks like he's spotting somewhere. I mean, it's too much for him.
No, he's doing four arm curls. Victorious. We'll come back in 2 minutes. Victorious.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person, too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season. At the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Giannis, 85 first place votes. LeBron, 16. Back-to-back MVPs has now happened from 12 players in NBA history. You know the names. Giannis, Steph, LeBron, Nash, Duncan, Jordan, Magic, Bird, Moses, Kareem, Wilt, and Russell. LeBron and Kareem have won back-to-back at two different times. Giannis doing it all by age 25. That's happened two other times before. Did it without a championship. You know the list that's done that, Kevin Blackstone. You said it as we sat down. Here are your points. LeBron, Nash, and Giannis, when they won their back-to-backs, didn't win a championship. So today, Giannis told Ernie Johnson, don't call me MVP until I have a championship. So I'm going to ask you, Kevin Blackstone, are you calling him MVP?
Yeah, I'm calling him MVP, but I'm calling him MVP along with Steve Nash as two guys who won back-to-back MVPs but only saw the NBA Finals from their living room couch. That's not where you want to be. You got to put some shine on that piece of metal so you can be like the rest of those guys. And, you know, he's going to have his work cut out for him and expectations for him again next year.
Bill Plaschke?
LeBron got robbed. Come on, let's just say it. I was saying this pre-bubble. I was saying this back in March. I was really disappointed in the voters for not realizing his leadership he showed. He had a new coach, new players. He went through tragedy. He went through controversy. He led him to the best record in the West, led the league in assists, was the best teammate in the league, pretty much matched Giannis on the court numbers. And head-to-head, right before the pandemic, beat Giannis head-to-head, dominated him. LeBron was the MVP, clearly. I don't know what people are thinking of. I don't know what they're
looking at. Does it surprise you it was so one-sided in favor of Giannis? I mean, 85-16 is a pretty big margin.
I'm stunned that more people didn't see this.
What did you say there? Because he led the team through tragedy. You're talking about the loss of Kobe, of course.
Yeah.
And through controversy, he gets extra credit?
For China, yeah, for the whole deal. They were stuck in China for 2 weeks for start of the season. Yes, he's done. He led him through all this with a new coach, a new system, and new teammate.
Yeah. But didn't LeBron create much of the controversy in China as well when he was speaking and he was ill-informed? Let's bring in Israel Gutierrez here. Let's have a full conversation.
I mean, let's call it what it is. It's a regular season award, right? And it's given, in this case, to the right person because Giannis did the most for his team on paper, things you can actually look at, okay? I understand you can talk about being the best teammate in the league. I don't know where that stat is. And so I look at Giannis, and I think he should consider himself the two-time MVP and be proud of it. It's not his fault that, a GM maybe isn't putting the right pieces around him or a coach isn't really doing the right things with those pieces. I know there's a couple of coaches out there that would love to have him believe they could win a championship.
That's very astute of you, Israel Gutierrez, student of the game. But please, you got to believe fans at home are saying, where's the championships? You got two MVPs. Where's the championships? That's Bill Plaschke, the China controversy. Nobody in the NBA came away from that positive. Nobody looked good throughout any of that. I don't know how you're giving extra credit to LeBron for that. We're going to move on. Fire sell two. Buccaneers Panthers this weekend and how Brady responds to his coach calling him out publicly. Even though the coach said, he didn't call him out, but it kind of did. Bill, what type of response are you expecting from Brady?
Well, I would love a great response. He hasn't lost four games in a row in 18 years. But however, Chris Godwin's doubtful with concussion. The running game hasn't gotten going yet. Carolina's going to make the adjustments. I think Brady may be looking at a fourth straight loss here.
Israel Gutierrez?
No, I'm expecting Brady to be better, not because his coach called him out, but because he's playing against the Panthers, and he's not playing against the Saints in this one, and he's Tom Brady. Let's give the guy some credit, despite the fact, he's 42 years old.
Kevin Blackstone.
Well, he was pretty bad last week, so there's only another rung up for Tom Brady to perform. And I think he'll be better, but I don't think he'll be appreciably better because of what he's missing. But the Carolina Panthers were not very good last week either, and that'll give him some opportunity.
So he's missing Godwin. You're saying Mike Evans, who had a hamstring injury going into last week, is still not great. So once again, we question Tom Brady's weapons. Does he have enough weapons? I thought this was the year he had all the weapons. We move on. Buy or sell three, Patriots versus Seahawks. This is the Sunday night game. Last time they met, 2016 Seahawks win. The time before that, the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl. Russell Wilson versus Belichick after Belichick called him the most underrated player in the league, which might mean now he's overrating him. And Cam Newton, start number two. Israel, who'd you rather be in this one, Russ, Belichick, or Cam?
Oh, Russ, by far. I do not want to be Cam Newton. I do not want to figure out where Jamal Adams is going to be all over the field. I do not want to see eight people stacked in a box to keep me from running as a quarterback. I think Russell Wilson's going to have a lot.
So you think Jamal Adams could be like a Cam stopper, with the new offense
for sure.
The Patriots are doing with all them? Mm-hmm. Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
There should never be any more questioning about Russell Wilson. Did you see what he just did last week when he rolled out of bed? 322, 31-35, a 143 quarterback rating, 4 touchdowns, clean slate. That's what Russell Wilson does to anybody. I would always rather
that was his passer rating because the QB rating only goes up to 100. Right, thank you very much, Kevin Blackstone. And how about you, Plaschke?
Can I just call out Belichick for piling on unnecessarily on Tom Brady? I mean, saying Russell Wilson's the best player you've seen in the week when Brady got ripped by his own coach. Not a good week for Brady. Not a good week for Belichick. I'm taking it in when it comes to adjustments. The second week in the NFL is all about adjustments. I think they adjust to Cam Newton. Mm. I'll take Pete Carroll in Seattle.
But is it a good week for Bill Plaschke? Point total, not getting you into showdown. But wait, Lakers start tonight. You start to feel good. You called the series over, basically, before it started. Thanks, Bill.
Eight more wins.
Kevin Blackstone, Israel Gutierrez, showdown, next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kevin Blackstone, Israel Gutierrez, good luck in showdown. We've got like 10 sports at once going on now, and it's awesome, and it's anxiety-inducing. WNBA is still single elimination. Mercury survived last game on the last second shot. Tried to do it again. Lynx defense hold. Minnesota moves on in the wobble. In the hubble, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Finally, from President's Trophy and league record for wins and swept out of the first round last year to Stanley Cup Final with the overtime game winner to beat the Islanders, Anthony Cirelli. Kevin, how should the Lightning feel getting that win and the Islanders feel seeing that puck trickle in like it did?
Well, the Lightning ought to feel great because I thought the Islanders were the team to beat this time around, and they got them, and that's great. So too bad for the Islanders. Great for the Lightning.
The Islanders should feel terrible. They're trying to make this a series, trying to get to that game seven, literally watching in slow motion as the puck crosses the line.
It's like Cirelli had to convince the refs. It was in. Didn't you guys see it? We'll give the point to Gutierrez. Showdown two, back to the NFL. Baltimore-Houston this weekend. You guys always say, well, it's Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson. It's Lamar Jackson versus Houston's defense, Deshaun Watson versus Baltimore's defense. Israel, who's poised for the better game?
I mean, based on last week, it's got to be Lamar Jackson. We saw what that team and he did to the Browns, and the Browns look pretty good this week, so I've got to take Lamar Jackson here.
I would look at that passer rating for him, too, but you know what? Deshaun Watson has got to bounce back. This is going to be a bounce back weekend for him.
You think the Texans are going to beat Baltimore here?
Why not?
Maybe not.
Early.
Okay, all right, all right.
Back. They're going to start at 0-2. You can't push
too much talking. No points for anybody. We move on. Showdown three. These baseball teams that are clinching 6 weeks into a season. This is a brain warp. White Sox and Rays in the playoffs. Who's more dangerous, Kevin?
So it's got to be the Giolito-led White Sox. You got to love it. For the first time in 12 years, all those young players back, Abreu, that pitching staff, you got to like the White Sox.
Give me the White Sox, too. Jose Abreu, Tim Anderson won the batting title. Yeah, they seem to be a team of the future, but they seem like right now for me.
Both the future and right now, which is a great way to get into FaceTime, which was in the future 5 seconds ago, but is right now for you, Israel Gutierrez.
Thank you, Tony. If you're looking for that straw that broke the camel's back when it comes to 2020, how about the Maui Invitational getting moved outside of Hawaii, obviously, where? To the Maui of the East Coast, naturally, Asheville, North Carolina. What are we going to do here? Part of the appeal of the Maui Invitational is, you know, the Hawaiian shirts, the lays, not really knowing what time it is over there. Hey, and this, what are they going to do? Are they going to do all the same gimmick? Are they going to have the lays and the shirts? Are they going to, like, put, like, I don't know, barbecue around their necks or something to show you that they're in Asheville. I don't get it. I don't like it.
I was waiting
to
see
to Hawaii in 2020.
Where you were going with that.
All right. North Carolina.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, okay. We'll call barbecue around the neck. We'll say that. That's it for
Aloha,
us. We'll be back Monday.
Y'all.
Have a great weekend.